about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to have you with us on this August the 25th on the West Coast. It's now August the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And I would like to give a quick shout out to starting to feel like my sister Renee in California. Say hello to Bill and Linda in Washington, also Diane in Bainbridge, up there in the Washington area, Marie in Chicago, and all the wonderful people who have been emailing me. My good buddy Z has been keeping me apprised of some things that are going on with this Obama lawsuit. As I mentioned on my show last weekend, I did have the chance to talk with attorney Philip Berg in Philadelphia, who filed a lawsuit to basically bring this Obama situation to a head or a close in regard to the fact that there were some discoveries going around that there is a birth certificate in Kenya, a birth certificate in Indonesia, and now we learn there's a birth certificate in Canada as well, yet Obama has not been able to produce a valid life certificate of birth from the state of Hawaii. I find that very, very interesting, considering the research I've been doing and now research many, many others are doing. So I am grateful for all the people that are anxiously awaiting my next piece. I'll tell you, it's going to be a monster, and but it's nothing like the monster that I'll be exposing. With that, we're going to jump into a conversation now with tonight's guest. He has been on Evident Footprints several times, and he is a popular guest. Many people go to my archives at directlightproductions.com and at BBS Radio to listen to his interviews. He's very popular, and that's because he's got a great website that's one of the best research sites in the whole world. And I'm honored to have him on the show as a friend and as a great researcher, metaphysical scientist, and a very good investigator in his own right, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. So nice to be on again. And I appreciate your warm introduction, as always. I thought maybe I might just mention something that I doubt if other guests you've interviewed on your radio show have mentioned, but I'd just like to take a minute to tell whoever might be listening to this recording or to the broadcast tonight, that it was only after I had been talking to you for a couple of months, we began to talk to each other in May of 2007 because of the Scherf article, and it was only after talking to you a while that I gradually came to understand that you have a very extensive background in music. Both as a performer as well as a composer. And it wasn't until I had known you a number of months that I realized just how high up on the musical caliber or scale that you had climbed, and come to find out that you've played with some of the most famous musicians in the jazz and pop world. And I doubt if any of your listeners know that your opening bumper music, for instance, was both composed and played by you, as well as many of your sponsor breaks. ID tags and let's say political satire announcements are all done by you, because you're also quite a mimic. So I just had to take a moment to mention that you're more than a writer and a talk show host. You're a very talented person. You've got an extraordinary career in music, and so that makes you a far more interesting person.
Well, you know, I'm a bit taken aback because, I mean, you know me personally, and you know my love for music. I mean, that's what my life has been about, and the Lord has sort of put me in a little bit of a different place, not giving up on music. It's just that music, in terms of this show, has had to take a back seat to get this message out to the listening audience. And as much as I would prefer, and you know this about me, I would prefer just making music. I mean, I would love that, and I'm sure eventually the listening audience could get used to that. Truth arrives in many different forms, and right now it has to come out in the spoken word and in the written word. I pray that I will be able to focus on my music. So thank you for acknowledging that. Coming from a man of your character, that means a lot to me. So I just, you know.
Well, my pleasure. You know, as you know, I've mentioned to you that I had something of a background in the music business myself. So I come to acquire an ear, and I can certainly tell the wheat from the chaff, and I've just been blown away by some of the things you played for me live over the phone and some of the recordings that you've made with very well-known musicians. I mean, I think a lot of listeners would be surprised just how much of a heavyweight musician you are. But I know you don't go there on the show, but I just felt compelled. I had to at least mention it once.
Well, you know, since you brought that up, maybe at some point in the show, halfway through the show, we'll take a break. We'll do a quick promo for a couple of my sponsors who really deserve that anyway, because they're making this show possible, and they're also supporting BBS as well as some other networks out there. And maybe I'll play one of the pieces that you referred to, if
okay.
You'd like to hear it.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it would be appropriate, and it's just the spirit of me, you know, in that environment. You know, when people are doing ads, and I think they have great promos done by many of the artists whose music is featured on BBS Radio, and I listen to those as carefully as I listen to anything else. And I'm amazed at how many talented people have found their way to BBS Radio. These are unsigned artists, you know, they're independent artists that are really hoping people will listen to the music streams. You know, we have a 24/7 music stream, stream number 4. And when we're not broadcasting live shows, they fill in that airspace, that what would normally be dead air on another network, with nonstop music. And there are promotional messages there too, because it's important that we let the people know there are certain guests coming on the show, or what the shows are about themselves. And I'm impressed with overall the quality of all of them. My approach was to be a bit humorous and to be visual. You know, because it is radio and you're listening to it, and if you can picture something in your mind, it can be brought out in humor, and I think we need a lot of humor these days. There's not a lot to laugh about.
Yeah.
So maybe right. I'll play that one particular
okay, yeah, good.
Spot that you mentioned.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break somewhere on the half hour, we'll say. So thanks for that. For
sure,
that promo.
You're welcome. And just while we're on this area, I'll just a very short mention. The sort of website I have, it can I get a lot of email and from people that they often are shocked and taken back when they've read enough articles, they realize there's this group plotting to do harm to the world's population. They want to turn the world into a planet of slaves, really, and there's a lot of grim information that you have to face. On the other hand, though, it's important to remember that there is this capacity within people to turn the tables, as it were, depending on how they structure their inner environment. And one way to not allow daunting news, if it is news to you, if you're just finding out about the New World Order, or you're finding out about chemtrails, and you're finding out that, you know, vaccines are bad news, something you don't want to do, there's a lot of agendas in place that are destructive in nature, and their goal is to harm the world's population. Their overall goal is to reduce the world's population by very dramatic numbers. And if we realize that we have an infinite capacity to not only sustain ourselves, but to overcome any difficulty thrown at us, because there's a universal principle at work that for every act of destruction, there is available to you an equal source resource of counter pressure to that destructive pressure. That's the very nature of the universe we live in. They refer to it as a dualistic universe. You know, yin and yang, positive and negative, and Newton's law about for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction applies for everything in nature, not just mechanical forces. It applies to spiritual notions, and so every time they throw something negative at us, a opportunity will arise, which we can either ignore or take advantage of, that will counter that negative action. And since we're just talking about music and humor for just a second, both humor and music is restorative to the human spirit. It's a special type of, oh, let's say, soul-level communication. It goes beyond just the oral sensations of the, you know, the pleasure of harmony within our brain and our ears. It's a type of special, let's say, liaison with higher vibratory forces. And if you take advantage of the refreshing, rejuvenating aspects of music and humor, it's essentially an indispensable tool, method, opportunity to recharge yourself. So no matter how difficult, you know, your, what's the word I want, your view or your perception, perhaps, of where things are going, if you use the things that rejuvenate us, and that could be playing with children, that could be taking a shower, taking a bath in salt water, could be just going for a walk on a pleasant day, it's important to give your body and your mind the opportunity to refresh and rejuvenate itself, because you recharge your batteries and you see things, or let's say you see answers to resolve problems much more easily when your body is recharged. So we have this capacity to keep on bouncing back and to actually go to higher heights of creativity, because when you're pressured, or when the whole planet is being imposed upon in the way we are, then the creativity goes up. Your creativity quotient goes up, and the more you work this faculty, the better you get at it.
Mm-hmm.
And your psychic ability goes up, and your just creative ideas come percolating if you stimulate yourself. But you need this rest and to me, humor and music are the two most valuable ways to recharge yourself, because there's nothing that even if you're tired, even if you're in a bad mood, if you're exposed to the right type of humor, it'll just erase all that negative energy. And we need to do that. So it's important to keep up music, to either listen to it or play it. If you can play an instrument, it's even more fulfilling, because you kind of communicate with something higher. There's a a veil, as it were, that you sort of partially penetrate when you can perform an instrument, and you sort of get into these spheres of consciousness that only a musician really can appreciate. But it's a wonderful way to keep in shape, in a way. I used to play an instrument fairly seriously for a number of years, and even if I didn't do other normal exercise, if I worked on the instrument hard enough, it's a workout. You still feel that you've sort of gotten your exercise.
You get in touch with your spirit. You bring to mind something that occurred to me a number of years ago, or I should say occurred in my life. It happened. I was speaking in front of a group of people, and I was talking about the very thing you're talking about, the importance of music as soul food. And the importance of humor. And I was asked a question by a member of the audience during the question and answer period, and this gentleman had sincerely asked the question, "Do you really think you can prove that God has a sense of humor? Look at all of the sadness and the mayhem and destruction going on around the world. You have murder and the poisoning of large groups of people and suffering, starvation. How can you say that God has a sense of humor?" And I said, "Well, it's obvious. He created man." And it took a couple of seconds, but they got the idea. So,
yeah.
So, and there are those that say, "Well, the aliens created man. Okay, so he created the aliens then."
Right.
You look at it.
Right, right, right.
We can take ourselves too seriously, and it is important for us to touch the other aspects of who we are, not just the serious stuff. Because
that's really, I guess, the point of mentioning of this is that you need to be in balance if you want to be, if you want to live a long time, and if you want to be productive while you're living. You got to remember that. There's a time and a place for everything, and very often people in this area get too serious, and they acquire this doom and gloom personality, and they become jaded, and everything's negative. Well, they're going way off to the extreme of the scale, and they're not only crippling themselves, they're crippling other people around them who are being infected by their their negativeness.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen this in people who put stuff on the internet about the New World Order, or there is a tendency to just an endless series of bemoaning this, bemoaning that, and that's not good. I mean, it's okay to face up to the facts of what we're facing, but you don't get energy from being on the negative side of the scale. You get energy from being on the positive side of the scale.
Absolutely. I tell some of my guests, both on the air and off the air, these are very dark topics that we delve into, and we're analyzing them and picking them apart so that we can see them for what they are, because we have been conditioned to just accept this as normal.
Yep.
And it's not. It's very abnormal. And when you're in touch with these aspects that you're talking about, which is you're really presenting the listening audience with a more well-rounded aspect or observation of who we are. These are parts of us as well, and we don't really have the self-expression because that's being programmed into us too. You see, what music they want us to hear and what hidden messages within the music they want us to hear is what we hear unless we make a conscious effort to go in a different direction. You know, that's where turning the TV off, turning mainstream radio, and mainstream radio in and of itself is not necessarily negative until you get bombarded by the claptrap that is designed to get you to spend your money and focus on your bad health and or suggest that you might eventually have bad health. You see that people aren't realizing they're being programmed to have bad health.
Yep.
And so they stock up their medicine cabinet, and boy, if they get a sneeze, they've got something for that. Or if they get a little cut, they've got something for that. And every other malady that we have, they've got something for every disease, and they're never even stopping to think that they can heal themselves from within. Many ways, like you're describing, through the music. And our muscles physically atrophy when we're not exercising, when we're not moving around. And we can atrophy spiritually as well by not tapping into those aspects that you're describing. So I support what you're saying.
Yep.
It's very true. So now that we've discussed the positive, what are we going to talk about negative?
Well, we can briefly just touch on the political scene a little bit because the Democratic Convention has kicked off, and I guess you mentioned it at the opening of the show, but there is an issue that probably will explode or surface, perhaps is the better word, in mainstream media in a very short period of time, perhaps within a week or less. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that what has been circulating on the internet for 2 or 3 or 4 months now is being picked up or is being talked about by more mainstream people, and it's the fact that Barack Obama has no proof that he was born in the. He lacks the proof that he was born in the United States, and the folks that were initially looking into his birth certificate, the Obama website people. By the way, Obama's campaign is generally being directed by Zbigniew Brzezinski. There's another. Ex Air Force General, trying to remember his name, McNeil or something close to that, who's very much involved in his in the direction that his campaign is going. They're probably also making decisions about what Obama puts up on his website. Anyway, a few months ago, the Obama website people tried to pass off a fraudulently made quote birth certificate that they claim was a genuine thing, but there were so many self-evident errors in their attempt to deceive the public that enough people caught on to it, and they flat out accused the Obama people of trying to pass off a photoshopped birth certificate, which I think anyone who's looked at the evidence can clearly see is the case. Now, we had been talking about Obama, McCain, and Hillary Clinton for a number of months. Actually, it probably goes back into late summer of last year. And what the idea is that McCain's credentials, his background, are not what he's has been attempting to portray. His war record is not that of a hero. He was a collaborator with the enemy. He was never tortured. He, in fact, he got special treatment because he was a collaborator. He sang like a bird. He gave the North Vietnamese information that they used to shoot down American fighter planes. He's a traitor. He's not a war hero.
Mm-hmm.
And he, while he was active military, he was an extremely rash and reckless individual who caused, single-handedly, was responsible for causing the deaths of 130-some-odd seamen.
167
seamen,
yeah,
aboard that aircraft carrier because of the hot dog, wild, reckless way in which he started his plane. He wanted to create a flashback of flames behind his plane, so he did something that they call a wet start, intentionally allowed fuel to spill out so that when it was ignited, that fuel would ignite and shoot back a large flame, and ho, 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 isn't this funny of me, or whatever, what the hell is going through his mind. Well, he caused the pilot behind him to die in the plane behind him. He caused rockets to go off, and he caused 167 men to die. And we only read that on the internet. You don't hear that from any of the mainstream people when they're talking about his career. So we have a guy who's got into a position of power in Arizona because he got in with the right power money boys, and he's been a player with and for the Illuminati all along.
Mm-hmm.
Because his father and his grandfather weren't necessarily war heroes themselves. They're players.
They weren't even Americans.
Right.
That's part of this whole ruse, too, is that the media keeps drumming this, well, you know, he was born to Americans. No, they're making an effort to lie,
yeah,
again, you see.
Right. Yep.
So it's all covered up.
You're covering this in this story in much detail in your series, The Three Stooges Go to Washington, and I know you have a lot more 500-pounder bombs you're going to be dropping in your upcoming pieces. I know you're you're working on Obama now, and then Hillary will be the third part of that series, and it's going to be very interesting when you come out with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to briefly just touch on Obama's problem now is that his lack of a birth certificate is going to accelerate in the press, and I just posted an article today by a fellow who was saying that Hillary Clinton, who has been playing ball with the Rockefeller since the day she was a young lawyer and went to work for the Democrats. Of course, she played a very big role in bringing Republican Richard Nixon down. And they had promised her that if she did her job, was an attack dog for them, that they would eventually reward her with the presidency. And it looks like it's Obama might have been a setup just to clear the decks so that we would have, the Democrats would have no other choice other than to nominate Hillary, because if they pull off what has been proposed by this fellow in the article I posted today, is that Philip Berg, who's an attorney who's a supporter of Hillary Clinton, filed a lawsuit 4 or 5 days ago in court saying that he tried to get an injunction against Obama to force him to prove that he's a U.S. citizen before he can go forward. The judge made a ruling a day or two yesterday, which he did not agree to the injunction, but he left the case open. So that means that more evidence can be presented and they could go forward with the notion. So the writer of this article had the idea that Jay Rockefeller, of course, is one of the titular heads of the Rockefeller Empire, who is a senator from West Virginia, had thrown his support behind Obama a few months ago, likely in anticipation of the scenario we are now facing. He did not want to be, he tries to, since he's been elected, to remain, to maintain this veneer of the guy who cares about the little poor working person. I suppose that's why he went to a state like West Virginia, poor coal miners, et cetera, et cetera. And he tries to maintain this impression. Of course, he is one of the Rockefellers, and the Rockefellers are the Illuminati in the United States. They're at the top of the pyramid, and worldwide, I should not just say just the United States. The Rockefellers are at the very top of the Illuminati pyramid, and that's all the Rockefellers, including Jay. Well, anyway, the notion that this fellow put forward is that at the convention, as the turmoil, let's say, of Barack's lack of a birth certificate gains momentum in the press, I suppose they might have a set of exposés in mainstream press to come out about this, and that it could well be that during the convention there'll be so much chaos created by this problem that Jay Rockefeller will withdraw his superdelegate support of Obama and throw them open to another nominee who, since Hillary Clinton is the only other Democratic nominee who never did concede, if you recall. She never quite conceded.
Well, yeah. You know, Ken, if I can add something, too. You know, we have this fellow in Little Rock, the head of the Democratic Party, that was taken out by a volunteer, or would-be volunteer, that decided he was going to go in and shoot him. So he's off the map. He was the superdelegate. And then we had Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones from the East Cleveland District, in Ohio, and she suffered an aneurysm. It's interesting that they went to the Clintons to get their condolences in both cases. Very interesting. You see, to me, it's as though they added it to the Clinton body count.
Yes.
I mean, it smells to high heaven. It stinks to high heaven.
Yeah.
They didn't go to President Bush and ask him or Dick Cheney what they thought of of these two individuals. Who were superdelegates all of a sudden disappearing. So it adds more credence to what you're describing right now. You see, two who had switched from Clinton to Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she switched, Stephanie Tubbs Jones switched in around June. Let me add this, and we'll take a quick break if I can do that, and then we'll come back and talk about anything you want. I'm going to follow through with my promise. Let me just say that we still have three stooges to report, and Hillary will be stooge number three. So that was my intuition from the beginning, and it's panning out that way, isn't it? It's kind of interesting. We'll be right back. I want to let the listening audience know you are listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio. And our special guest, Ken Adachi, will be right back with me in a few moments, so don't go away.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
With the second segment of this August the 25th or August the 26th edition of Evident Footprints, and our special guest Ken Adachi. Now, Ken, I promised you that I was going to play this one promo that you were talking about.
Yeah.
It actually is pretty funny. It's really crazy. And there's a second episode that's soon going to come out. Actually, it's finished. I just have to put the final touch on it to get it into an MP3 and over to the network. But this is a progressive story. And I just thought it would be funny to, you know, they're always showing cowboy movies on TV, so I thought I'd make a cowboy movie for the radio and talk about BBS. So
yeah.
This is the BBS Radio Cowboys. And this is specially played for Ken Adachi.
Partner, we got our pork and beans, we got our coffee, and we got this real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
Yes, Dad, boy, got this here radio, but we ain't got no battery.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go to town and get some for the both of us.
Go to him. Make my day.
Dadgummit, you and your BBS radio.
So that's the BBS Radio Cowboys. Now, you know, I did a couple of others. Actually, I did four that get played kind of around the clock on all the different streams. It's kind of neat, you know. I'll be doing some work and listening to the music, and all of a sudden this will just...
You'll hear your...
Snap me back into reality, you know. I did one, I don't know if you heard it. I think I may have played it for you, but some people in the listening audience have not heard it on this show. And if I can, for another half a minute, let's say...
Yep.
Impose upon, this is the BBS Radio Mars. And it speaks for itself.
Houston, we have a problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
We love BBS Radio. We love BBS Radio. We love BBS Radio. We love BBS Radio. We love BBS Radio.
like PBS.
Yes, I was thinking, gee, it's amazing. It can get all the way up to Mars. Phenomenal. Must be those cell phone towers or something.
Well, you see, the laugh does good because it makes all this stuff we're talking about totally meaningless, you know? Doesn't it? That we can shift gears so smoothly.
You know?
Well, you were talking now, before I interrupted you so that we could take that break for our sponsors, both the Idaho Observer and hempusa.org. You were talking about this issue of what's going to happen in the convention, the Democratic nominating convention,
it's a possibility. But the fellow who wrote the article, which I posted on my current news page, it seems plausible to me. He laid out a scheme, if you will, that Barack was set up to play this role, so that they, if they're presumably, Hillary is much higher in the Illuminati than Barack Obama is. I mean, Barack is a useful little pup, but Hillary has been there a long time, and she's higher in the hierarchy than Bill Clinton is. So
I was just going to say that. Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, they call that her level of they're calling her a what's called a grand dame, and she's up there. So they, according to this fellow, that the Rockefellers had promised her the presidency 35 years ago, and I believe they're going to attempt to make good on their promise. So these folks are so Machiavellian, they're so long range in their plans and strategies, it's entirely possible that the birth certificate thing was, well, shall we say, prepared to come out at this time. And they've perhaps intentionally saw to it that he didn't have a certifiable, birth certificate. This may have all been planned. It doesn't strike me as unusual that they do have these long-range plans, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years in advance, and they just follow the script very carefully. So if that's the case, if Obama was intended to go down, because they probably assume that a lot of people in this country don't like Hillary. They, they call her, Lady Macbeth and all that, and she is not so liked. So there's a reason she didn't win the primaries, because she's disliked enough. However, because of her position, I'm sure Barack Obama will serve the Illuminati, because he'll just flip-flop in any way they want him to flip-flop, as we've been seeing. The most deluded people in the world, in my opinion, are liberals, are the sort of liberals that send in their contributions to Pacifica radio stations, and here in Southern California, one of the two talk stations that I can listen to is KPFK out of Los Angeles, which has a lot of good material, a lot of it's good, but it's dominated by liberal radio host show personalities who in many instances say the right thing about, have the right attitude, have the right position on many, many topics. But they're deluded by this notion that, there is a true party dichotomy between Republicans and Democrats. No. That ended, 40 years ago, 50 years ago? It does not exist. It's the same party using two different names. And when I say party, it's politicians, individuals who are in the political game, who are in it for personal gain. It has nothing to do with the Constitution, serving the people. They're in it for personal gain. And therefore, they have the people with money, corporations, et cetera, behind them. They get the funding to pay for the commercials, to pay for all the rigmarole you go through to get elected, to fly around from here to here, to talk to the veterans group, to talk to this ladies group, to talk to this feminist group. You know, they're spending all this campaign money. Where did the campaign money come from? The fat cats who they're going to take care of after they get into office.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is no, so when I hear people on KPFK kind of say, well, we sort of have no other choice. We're not crazy about Obama, but my God, we can't put McCain in there. He's another Bush. And they kind of come to this conclusion, well, I guess it's the only choice we have. No, it's not the only choice you have. You don't have to vote for either McCain or Bush, or if Hillary gets on the ticket for Hillary, you don't have to do that. There are other people you can vote for. You can also write in a candidate. Now, what's more important, however, though, a lot of people cop the attitude that the two candidates are so rotten, I'm not going to bother voting. And I know a lot of people ascribe to that notion, but it flies in the face of a reality. People who don't vote are having no impact at all on who goes to Washington. None. So you can complain, and you can be the star, you know, of your neighborhood bar. You can be the political pundit there, and you might have that whole bar thinking you're the cat's meow when it comes to a political analysis. But if you don't vote, you're just wasting your time, and you're wasting everyone else's time. You're accomplishing nothing if you don't vote. So the other thing is that when we go to vote in November, we're voting for more than the president and vice president. We're voting for the entire House of Representatives. And we're voting for at least 30-some-odd senators out of the 100 that'll be up for re-election. Now, you don't have to stick with the guy who's already in there, particularly if his voting record is such that he's been voting with the New World Order. If he's been voting for the Patriot Act, if he's been funding the war, if he voted for the Military Commissions Act, if he voted for any of these recent, what's that most recent bill that was signed by President Dumbo just about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, it'll come to me in a second. The FISA, the revised FISA thing. The members of the House or Senate who vote for these things need to be removed from office because they're dismantling the constitutional framework upon which the protection of the public depends. And they're called traitors. We have to get them out of office. Now, at the very least, the wisest thing to do is for people in every state, in every city, to locally get together and decide on a write-in candidate who's totally in the pro-Constitution camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then go into the booth and write in the name of your guy. And if you get, you know, 20, 30, 40, or 80,000 people to do that, you might win the election. You might win over whoever the party puts up. But if you can't do that, if that doesn't happen, the next choice is at least vote out the incumbents. Even if the new guy coming in is just as blackmailable and just as mailable, I should say, as the guy who went out, the guy who's coming in is fresh meat. He has not already ensconced himself and is not already totally in the Illuminati's pocket. That takes a few years to build up that kind of influence with that congressman. It doesn't happen the day they show up in Washington. They gradually buy him off. They gradually blackmail him. They gradually suck him in to do his bidding. But at least in the beginning, particularly if he's a first-time electee, you have far less chance or far better chance of him voting against these Constitution-breaking bills than voting for them because he hasn't been totally bought, owned, and corrupted at the beginning of his career. So at the very least, who's ever opposing the existing guy, because you have to actually check, though, because not every member of Congress has voted the wrong way, but it's a relatively small number that have stayed, you know, on the side of the people and voted against the war, against the funding, voted against the Military's Commission Act. It's a relatively small number, so you should know the voting record of the guy in your, of the reps in your state, so that when you go to vote, that you know how he voted, and if he's among the majority that have been voting for these bills that are destroying our Constitution, you got to get him out of there. So, the presidential election part aside, voting for Congress is an important reason to go into the voting booth this November. So, not voting accomplishes nothing. And even though we have voter fraud, we've made something of a dent in it. You know, a lot of states now have insisted on dumping the electronic machines. I believe here in California they've dumped the electronic machines. They only will allow a paper ballot. So if you don't fight the New World Order, if you don't fight corruption, it just accelerates, and it will take you over and deliver you into the pit of hell a whole lot sooner than if you fight them. It's far better to fight than not to fight. And not voting is stupid. Only stupid people say, I'm not going to vote because this guy's is rotten. That guy's rotten. I'm just not wasting my time. Stupid.
You know, if I can interject something here, you're reminding me of a few things. First of all, Saturday, and this is in support of what you're saying here. I was on Greg Evenson's show, Voices from the Heartland, on RBN, and he's an ex-Kansas State Trooper. He refers to himself as a former peace officer. This is an interesting perspective.
Yeah, and that's the correct term to use.
Yes, he's very much into everything that's going on, and there was a caller who called in and was talking about the influence that satanic worship and satanic ritual has on all of these candidates, and I couldn't do anything but agree with this caller, and I told him, you're hitting it right on the money. Of course, he was anticipating the Third Stooge piece, and the Obama piece is going to be out on the 4th or 5th of September. So I said, well, I'm not going to spill, the beans on what that story is about, but you don't know how right you are in your comment, especially when it comes to Hillary Clinton. You don't know how prophetic that comment is. And it brings to mind, too, in light of what you were just talking about, that there are people that vote straight party ticket. Their reasoning is, well, you know, the Democrats are for this and the Republicans are for that. Well, we've been arguing ad nauseum or discussing ad nauseum the fact that it doesn't matter what party these people belong to. It's the division of the people that's set up from the get-go. It's a fixed outcome. They pick who they want to pick, and they will do whatever they can to sway the vote. Now, what you're saying is we have the power to write in a candidate. We can change that whole scenario and cause them a lot of problems, because they have to count those votes. They have to physically stop and count those votes. And it's within our rights to demand that they do that, regardless of what they tell us. They consider us useless eaters and sheeple and fodder for their next episode of whatever the sadistic plans they have. And we can exert our authority, and nothing scares them more when we stand up to them and think for ourselves. This is all about them controlling how we think, controlling our perceptions, and keeping us in that belief system that, you know, I hate, because it's all about illusion. Nothing is of substance. It's all smoke and mirrors, and they full well know that. But they continue on as if nothing's wrong, and they use the media for that purpose. So the point I'm making is, you know, you're very, very right in what you're saying, and it's important to know, not believe, but to know. You have to get off your rear end. You got to put the potato chips and the beer away for a few hours and do some research. Make yourself knowledgeable. Talk to other people that know more about this stuff and get different viewpoints and then make your decisions based on that. No one has the right to tell you how to think. What we're trying to do here is awaken some consciousness and get people back to being whole human beings, not fragments of themselves. So, you know, that's my little rant. But
yeah, but it needs to be said because people need to be reminded of this, and especially liberal-minded people. I don't want to use Democrat and Republican because I know it's the Illuminati's on either side.
There's the independent, you know, where you're really not, you're not subscribing to any particular policy other than your sovereignty, you know. It's, to me, that argument is kind of like the person that says, when they say, well, you know, they tell us to vote straight Democratic ticket. Do you go into your favorite fast food restaurant and order everything on the menu just because it's there?
Mm.
No, you choose what you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't name any particular restaurant, but one comes to mind, the one that uses the number 13 turned on its left side, you know? You know, you don't go into the restaurant and order everything that's there unless you're Happy Humphrey.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You remember him. He was the guy that weighed like 1,200 pounds or something.
Yeah, or
like
Haystacks Calhoun, if you can remember.
Yeah. You know, this, I mean, we're talking about, you know, just common sense here. Common sense. The average intelligence. We're not talking about being a genius about this stuff.
Yep.
And people know, you see, this thing about Obama and Clinton, people are perceiving this because of what's happening. We talk about this on shows, too, about the awakening that's occurring throughout the universe, and especially here. Now, that's a small number of people in comparison to the numbers that are on this planet. But there are people awakening, and there are more voices coming to the fore to express these ideas, just like what you're expressing. These people that see there's something wrong with the stories that we're being told. And believe me, there is. You know full well what I've discovered.
Yeah.
That we're not going to, you know, talk about until the article comes out. Then we'll talk about it. And it's like anything else they do, they throw it at us like that. We have to react after they've already made all their decisions. Well, they know what they do wrong. And let me tell you, we will.
Yes.
So it's going to be merely a matter of their secrets being exposed. That's all.
Yes.
And there are many people doing that. It's not just me. It's not just you. And we take a lot of heat from readers. We take heat from listeners. There were people that come out with some whacked out version of what we're talking about. One little element, and they try to develop it into a whole theme. You know, there are certain individuals now that go on the internet talk shows, and they're saying, well, it's not the Nazis. You know, the Nazis died with Hitler. That story is out there. So then who is it? Oh, no, it's the Zionists. Well, the Nazis and the Zionists were the same people. Try to understand that.
Yes.
And the secret societies, they're all the same people.
Yep.
Showing themselves like chameleons or like the reptilians that they are. It always boils down to the same thing.
Yeah, I want to amplify, too, since we're talking about the notion that, or I should say we're just repeating or reiterating something which many people know, but it has to be echoed again, because that beyond you're getting the Illuminati whether you vote for the Republican or the Democratic candidate. You're getting the Illuminati. They're going to follow the Illuminati's agenda. Slight variation in how they follow it, very slight, but they will both do the bidding of the Illuminati. The Illuminati's goal is to destroy America. We have to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And when the outlets, so what I hear is I get the greatest amount of truth or something, information that's closest to reality through the internet, through mm-hmm. websites. Some are sharper than others, but that's where I get the closest to the truth. Now, on radio, broadcast radio, you have people such as Amy Goodman, Sonali Kohatkar, who have shows that, you know, want their listeners to agree is they are the epitome, according to them, of alternative information. In other words, you're going to get the real scoop from them. Well, I know in many cases, because of lack of insights, lack of understanding, lack of awareness on the part of the host, that they might think they have the inside track, but they're following a schedule. They're following an agenda, namely the controlled opposition agenda. And the easiest way to know that is to look at where they're getting their sponsorship and funding from. And it annoys me that, because I listen to KPFK out of Los Angeles, and those shows are nationally syndicated. Amy Goodman's on all around the country. She broadcasts out of New York. She says they're on over 700 radio stations. That's a lot of radio stations.
Yeah.
Including a lot of, you know, small Thousand Water University campus radio stations. She's on a couple of satellite links. She has a large audience, to be sure. And her and Sonali Kohatkar and the other, Lila Garrett, and the other individuals, during the daytime broadcast hours, while they have a lot of good things to say, they tend to stay within the framework of the liberal mindset. And the liberal mindset is that the Republicans are the bad guys, so the Republicans are warmongers, and they're causing this strife in the Middle East and Afghanistan and Iraq, and all, which is, of course, is true. But on the other hand, though, they have the notion that the party, their party, the Democratic Party, they talk about Nancy Pelosi and how they're disappointed that she didn't do this and she didn't do that, and Sonali Kohatkar is not completely crazy about Obama because X, Y, and Z. They never confront the reality of that these are Illuminati frontmen, they're stooges, they're traitors, and that their goal is to bring about the destruction and demise of the United States government. So there will be no more United States if we allow these people to go forward with their plans. And therefore, you can't stay in the box of thinking, I'm a Democrat liberal, the bad guys are the neocon Republican conservatives on the other side of the aisle. That aisle was obliterated 50 years ago. It does not exist. And the, quote, liberal alternative, and the thing is that they're constantly asking for money, and I'm forever surprised at how much money they do. Their fundraisers seem to go on forever. It's 3 or 4 or 5 weeks of fundraising and bombardment. There seems to be a 6-week break, and then they're back into it again. I'm sure their contributions are down, but I would encourage people not to fund these people because A, they are getting they say there's no corporate funding. They aren't mentioning that they're getting a foundation funding. The Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, gives lots of money to people like Amy Goodman and many of those other hosts. And apparently foundation, corporate foundation doesn't count. It's only corporate money that's evil. But corporate foundation money, no problem. They never mention it. They always try to tell their listeners that they're depending on the listeners. That is not true. They're getting money from the government, and they're getting a lot of money.
You brought up a very valid point, too, Ken, when you said that say, the liberals, you're speaking in generalities, but it's very, very typical of the arguments that they use in brainwashing the public. They say, well, you know, the Democrats are saying, well, the Republicans are warmongers. How many of those Democrats did not read the Patriot Act but voted it in?
Right.
Right? And FEMA and Homeland Security, or permitted Bush to Cheney to orchestrate all of these signing statements, which I hear now are over 1,000. It was only a few months ago, it was around 800. How many of them participated in all the allowing of this to go on? How many of them allowed the 9/11 commission to whitewash the murder that occurred instead of demanding that there was a murder investigation? And as recently as last Friday, Bush was before the VFW still promoting this story about 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous. And now, what does that do to the American traveling on a cross-country trip, and he wants to take a bottle of shampoo or hair conditioner or mouthwash, and you have to have something less than 3 ounces? It's got to be this why? Because a shoe, you know, you could be a shoe bomber. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and it's a way to distract us. Of course, I'm sure the people who planned this did it as a way to have us, you know, totally distracted in consternation and irritation about being forced to, you know, do these, you know, take off your belt, take off your shoes, take off your socks, 3 ounces or less. And I'm sure this keeps us distracted, though, so that's all we're talking about. The very fact that we have these this TA goon squad there to begin with somehow is never discussed. They shouldn't be in airports. You shouldn't have to show an ID to get on a train, for God's sakes. This is the imposition of Nazi ID measures, Nazi-inspired ID measures. There should be no Homeland Security. It should be dismantled. There is no war on terror except for the ones that the traitors have initiated against us and innocent people in other parts of the world, like Afghanistan and Iraq. The only war we've got is the traitors in charge of the government who are warring on us.
Yes.
And enough of the population, or large enough, a greater percentage of the population, needs to come to grips with that. And every time I hear some commentator, Daniel Schroer is a good example. He shows up on NPR radio quite often. Sounds like the most reasonable guy in the world, a senior CBS correspondent for God knows how long, 30 or 40 years, and he's sort of taken the place of Walter Cronkite in a way. But what he does and what everyone else does who tries to come across as a spokesman for reasonableness, sort of pro-constitution type sentiment, etc., they always embrace the 9/11 story. In other words, the government story. There were no 19 hijackers. Whatever flew in to the World Trade Centers were government-rigged airplanes. And they were guided by computer controls, etc. It's a put-up job. A plane did not go into the Pentagon. A missile went into the Pentagon. A missile made and manufactured by the United States government went into the Pentagon. And every time some what seems like reasonable, middle-of-the-roader commentator touches on this subject, there's a guy who's on every Sunday on KPFK. His name is Ian Masters. He always comes back to embracing and endorsing the government's cover story as, well, the reason we have Homeland Security is because these Arabs attacked us on 9/11. That's why we have to protect our borders. And the reason they're painting white lines down the middle of the street in some Vermont town I just reading in, on the internet now, and people used to, you know, Canadians, Americans intermingle there for all their lives. Now they're, you know, they're going to put up a fence. They're going to, you know, all this nonsense. And all, and when you when the locals are saying to these Homeland Security people, FBI, whoever the heck was there from the government, well, because of 9/11, you know, we don't like it either, but, you know, we're forced to do this because, and you hear that over and over again. Well, it's necessary whenever you're engaged in conversation, when I bring it out when I write introductory remarks, to confront that notion of who's ever, you know, you're engaged in a conversation with, is 9/11 was a government-sponsored inside job. There were no 19 Arab hijackers. The whole thing was done in order to create a police state, a Nazi-style police state. They wanted to create Homeland Security and all the restrictions that went with it. They wanted to create a national ID card because they wanted one world government, new world order, and that's what you get in a fascist police state. They want to be able to monitor every second of your life and not let you make a move anywhere without their permission or knowledge. That needs anyone who gets any sort of discussion, gets on a podium, needs to shout it out clear and even. 9/11 was a government inside job. I was just reading the comments. Philip Berg had just posted his notice that he had filed the lawsuit a couple days ago. And there's a man named Jeffrey, the name of his website is AmericanRights.com. Jeffrey Scriber, Scribner, something like that for a last name. And I, in my little introductory remarks about the interview that he did with Philip Berg, is I changed his name to Jeffrey Numbnuts, because he's ascribing to this notion that his differences with Philip Berg are many, and the most one that he finds difficult to fathom is the notion that this bizarre notion that Philip Berg has that somehow the government was involved in 9/11. He says, well, I just kind of roll my eyes when I hear that. Well, guys like him need to be a challenge, which is why I wrote my little comments in the introduction to his interview. And anybody who's engaging or who's participating in a conversation about how we have arrived at this state of affairs, when 9/11 is brought up, who's ever spouting the government's cover story needs to be challenged and confronted on the spot.
Yeah.
If everyone would do that, the momentum that they, meaning the Illuminati and their mind control minions, have established is that whoever tries to bring out the truth about 9/11 being an inside government job is marginalized in different ways. One is you can try the indignation route, which is what that traitor Bill Clinton did about a year and a half or so ago when I saw a video. Someone at some public auditorium was talking that made a remark about 9/11 being an inside job, and Clinton remarked very loudly, very boldly, very self-confidently to that that protester, "How dare you," he says, "how dare you," you know, just to try to cow the guy. Now, it was probably a 17, 18, 19-year-old, you know, high school or college freshman or something, you know. But Jesus, if I was there, I would have shot back a few "how dare yous" to him, too, about the zipper gate.
Yeah, next you're going to hear Bill Clinton say something along the lines of, "I did not have sex with Osama bin Laden."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he might as well say that because, you know, he's obviously towing the line for everybody else, you know, who's was involved. You see, that's the aspect of what the role the Clintons are playing that no one is bringing out, and that is their, as Christopher Story calls it, the kleptocracy that's going on. We've had, if you get Hillary in there for 8 years, you will have had 32 years of Bush, Clinton in office, and the amount of theft, and you know very well about what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The amount of theft is just unbelievable.
Yes.
That is going on. Offshore accounts and their roles. Plus, they're all CIA agents. They all work for the same team.
Yep.
And there are other methods, you know, this Hurricane Katrina Fund and USAfreedom.org. They set up these websites, and they're all conduits to funnel money through the CFR, and it goes through Henry Kissinger, his own promotional company, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what Kissinger McLarty Associates even is. I don't even think they know. but you have their stamp on everything, these politicians are saying, on everything they're doing, on every international event that occurs. They have their filthy hands in it.
Yep.
And these are not new names. Bryce Taylor wrote about these people, didn't she?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's the same people. It's the same people. Decade in, decade out. And what they do is when they're not in office, they wind up being usually a political commentator or a host on NBC or ABC. I just was heard a comment by Gergen today. Gergen used to be a regular reporter with NBC, I believe, and then he went to work for the Clintons, and then from there he's in some think tank. The guy's totally bought, you know, has been bought, sold, you know, and he's just a mouthpiece. I heard someone from the American Enterprise Institute today. The American Enterprise Institute is an Illuminati disinformation propaganda outlet. Most of those think tanks are. And these are the people I hear quoted all day long on NPR. They just go to the, let's say, the top shelf of the Illuminati's propaganda outlets to get their commentators, to get the people to comment on this or that, all the time pretending to be this balanced, fair, middle-of-the-road kind of alternative, progressive. It's nonsense. It's controlled opposition. NPR is the premier of, you know, the premier propaganda outlet, Tavistock propaganda outlet in America. It's national public radio.
And
because
their counterpart,
they're so sophisticated and clever and slick about their propaganda. When you hear an AM...
I was going to say, their counterpart on television is PBS. And C-SPAN. And C-SPAN now.
Right, exactly. And if you're unsophisticated and kind of the redneck beer six-pack Joe crowd, and you're real dumb, you're going to listen to the AM people, you know, the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys, and virtually every radio show, talk show host on AM radio is totally owned, controlled, you know, by the right wing of the propaganda spectrum. There is nobody. Even the so-called religious types, Michael Savage and the like, oh my God, these guys are just so difficult to listen to because it's so out of whack from reality, you just can't keep on listening to them. They're just too far extreme. Unless
you know,
you're extremely dumb.
We were talking about music earlier on in the show. And you brought to mind a recent guest. I've had him on the show a couple of times, Dr. B. Sirius, who was a musician And he still is a musician, but he was a famous record producer, and he had done a lot of R&B hits, and under the name of Courtney Branch. And he's become a shaman. He's gone into herbal healing and really figured out everything that was going on. In the latter part of his producing career, and I say, you know, for the mainstream labels, the major labels, they would come, the boys in the suits would come into the studio and say, okay, you know, we want X number of swear words, this particular swear word, X number of references to rape, drive-bys, flat-out murder, crime, wow, corruption, whatever you want. And it had to go into the lyrics. It had to go into the song. And he described getting paid anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 for doing this. Of course, with that came a lot of, I don't know if guilt is the right word, but definitely he was not comfortable with what he was doing. And even described that after he bowed out, he severed that relationship and stopped doing that kind of work and took the high road. He became very sick, became very ill after that. And so here he had this main income cut off, but at the same time it was almost like he had been targeted then, you know, as a traitor to their cause.
Seems that way, yeah.
Yeah, and you're very familiar with that the people that wake up and get out of these.
Yeah, it's not as easy as they think. They do retaliate in the way you suggest.
Yeah, but it was interesting to hear him talk about the extent. I mean, he talked about this on the air, the extent to which they went out of their way to corrupt the minds of the younger people,
yes,
and the people who are in the midst of all of this social unrest and this uncertainty,
yes,
about our future.
Yes.
These people are just struggling to survive in their everyday life because they've been programmed to accept drive-bys as a fact of life,
yep,
or drugs or rape or murders that are committed. You know, they have this new thing now that when someone is driving and they're driving without their lights or they just have on their parking lights at night,
yeah,
the warning is coming from certain police agencies across the country is not to flash your lights at them, to tell them to turn on their headlights. You know, you're doing them a favor, because
yeah,
these gangs have been programmed to the extent to where now they have a new game that they're playing, where the first person that flashes their lights at them is the next murder victim, and that somebody's being initiated into the gang, and so they flash their lights, they turn around and they go after them and they kill them.
Oh, my God. Wow.
This is the type of thing that is going on. Now, do you blame that on the music? Well, the suggestions are in the music. You see, the programming is in the music to desensitize these people, not
yes,
only to what they're doing, but that they're doing it to their own people.
Yes.
You know, the whether it's their social class, their race, their neighborhood, their friends, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to ask questions about who's in that car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be an old couple that's just thinking, oh, those people don't know,
yeah,
their lights aren't on.
Right. But, yeah, I'm sure when I was younger, that was, you learn that from adults, that the polite, courteous thing to do is to flash, to signal the person that they didn't put their lights all the way on, or sometimes the lights are completely off and they don't know it. You know, sometimes street lights are so bright. People, I mean, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You take off without putting the lights on, and you know, a normal person is grateful for someone who did that, you know.
Yeah, when I was in California, there was the last few years I was there, there was this rise in purposeful accidents, where a car full of illegal aliens or a truck filled with illegal aliens would smash into the rear of your car while you're going 50, 60 miles an hour down the freeway. They would call, or in the cities, it would happen too. They would intentionally cause an accident. The attorneys were encouraging them to do that, that they would make some money from doing that.
I see.
And they were setting up multiple lawsuits against the actual victims of these assaults. These are assaults with a motor vehicle.
I see.
This was going on in Los Angeles and in the San Fernando Valley for several years. And it was around the same time, it started around the time of the Rodney King episode. Not just the riots, but what led up to the riots.
Yep.
You know, this is, all this is programmed, all this is staged.
Yep.
On a really not even that high of a level, but they get their technology going. You know, they aim HAARP there and hit them with a few bursts, and who knows, they could be doing it from space as well.
I believe they are. Yes, I'm quite sure of it. It's both. First, it's the cell phone networks provide coverage, shall we say, for mind control activities. But, oh yes, it's definitely directed from space, and as well as, you know, the HAARP and the Gwen systems, you have no idea how much mail I get from people who are victims of psychotronic assault. And this is a very big story that, I mean, it's a pity that we're now into 2008 is our 10th year of Ken Shapiro's spring. And in fact, it's like 10 years and 8-9 months of spraying. And yet, a large percentage of people don't even know they're being sprayed with chemtrails. Now, when it comes to the notion of not 100, not 1,000, not even 10,000, but hundreds of thousands of people who are American citizens living in this country, and in some cases living abroad, are daily assaulted by electromagnetic signals, microwave signals that cause them to experience any sort of sensation that the perpetrators want them to experience. It could be pleasure, it could be pain. It's usually pain. It could be intense itching, burning. It could be simulated sex. Now, this is hard to believe, but these programs that they're using are computer controlled. And they can essentially play a computer file that the person who's receiving the microwave energy, his nervous system is locked into the impulses coming into his body via scalar microwaves, and it's activating his nervous system so that he will feel the same sensations, although it's not physically happening, as if he were engaged in a sexual act. Now, he could be a man, and he could be feeling the sensation of anal penetration. Now, it's hard to believe, but they have this psychotronic programs in place. They've been in place for a long time, 35 years at least. So for women, too, they can... The woman victims call it rape, but there isn't a physical person there, but they're feeling sensations. They're feeling thrust of a phallus into both openings, shall we say, and it feels just like the real thing to the victim. The sensation is exactly the same. People don't know this, and there's tens of thousands of people being victimized daily. They're hearing voices in their head. The perpetrators harass them. They swear at them. They harangue them. They tell them they're trying to break them down, make them feel that they're worthless, that they're totally a subject of their manipulations. They can't sleep at night. They keep them awake because... Imagine the horror of this. You're trying to fall asleep at night, and there's two or three of these retards talking to you inside your brain. I mean, just imagine how terrifying this is to the victim. And of course, they affect their even in the dream state. They can insert scenarios into their dream state. Anything could be rape, it could be murder, it could be the most horrendous things. They just insert it, and it's simply amazing that, you know, hardly anyone in this country knows that this is going on, that the government is behind it, and so-called law enforcement to the highest level, you know, NSA, FBI, CIA, of course, NASA, and local police, state police, they are working in cahoots to protect these people. Because whenever victims try to go to the FBI, the CIA, to explain what they got, they get an incredible runaround. They're stonewalled. They're humored. They're sent off to psychiatric hospitals. I just got a long letter from a guy named Mike Filas in Chicago. I've been getting his story from him. I'll be publishing it on my website. It's simply amazing how much this guy goes through, and yet he's still able to very intelligently, very cogently. He's not a well-educated person, but nevertheless, he is an intelligent person, and he could explain it in a very analytical way, what's being done to him exactly. I mean, it's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. That I wouldn't want to experience for a minute, and this guy's been putting up with it for a few years now. He made the mistake of going to the government about something, to report something, and he got himself implanted and tagged, and now they just have a field day with him, using him as if he was a rag doll. And it's
well, you know, in a few of the Project Camelot video interviews that they've done with some whistleblowers who have been in some of these programs you're talking about, actually caught on tape and that's a figure of speech because it's digital now, but
yeah.
we're speaking here in semantics. Captured in the recording during the interview, you can hear an audible pop where the speakers were pulsed with this energy,
yeah.
and targeted during the interview. So they've been monitored all throughout the interview,
yes.
Popped, and the stereo comes on by itself, or the TV and the stereo comes on.
I see.
This is actually in their documentary video.
That's amazing, because this fellow, in fact, I have another letter too from a man who sent me a snail mail letter, a very poignant letter. 76-year-old black man. He used to live in the New York area, and he's moved to North Carolina to be with his son. But he went to the government, some housing there situation he wanted to complain about, and they implanted him. And his life has been a living hell ever since. And he explains in his letter, which I scanned and I'm going to be posting it on my website. My God, this poor man, what he's putting up with the pain, the torture, the indignity, the humiliation. They're trying to another. By the way, this should be a subject for another show between us. Is the forced? It's not emasculation, but it's the forced conversion of heterosexual men to become homosexuals. It's part of the Illuminati agenda to completely break people's inner will and sense of inner core identity and respect. And this black man is being subjected to that. And he describes it in great detail in his letter, exactly what they're doing to try to mm-hmm. effect this conversion. And I mentioned to you on private conversations that there was another high-level individual from Europe who has connections with the royal family, who also told me in great depth about how her uncles and cousins were also forced by the Illuminati to convert or to accept homosexual activity, where they did not want to engage in this at all, but they were forced to do so, and to both psychologically, emotionally, and physically accept it. And if you don't accept it, they just keep on pouring on the training if we want to use that word, until you do accept it.
That sounds like they're recruiting all these people for Skull and Bones, is what you're saying.
Well, you get the idea. Part of their way of enslaving you, particularly these higher, you know, these bloodline family members, for instance.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of people, even though you might be born into an Illuminati bloodline, don't necessarily want to be part of the Illuminati. But they have no choice in the matter. They're forced to go that way. Zeph Daniels is a guy from a Hollywood Illuminati family who contacted me about 6 or 7 years ago, and we talked about this at great length. He didn't want to have anything to do with it, but they force you anyway. It's not like you have any choice in the matter. You have to attend the satanic rituals. You have to put the knife in your hand. Otherwise, they kill you. If you don't kill the victim, they kill you. And they force the issue. So this whole thing about forced conversion over to homosexual is a big topic. We need to discuss it because there's a reason you're seeing so much promotion of homosexuality on TV, radio, and in movies. And I'm particularly noticing, we've been noticing it for the last, probably four years or so in Japanese television. Most of the television we watch together are tapes sent to us from Japan. And there's this absolute explosion of homosexual, very, very, you know, drag queen type, very flamboyant homosexual personalities now that are on every talk show, on every game show, and I mean they're
in the movies,
regular
too.
Part
yeah.
of the panel now.
Yeah, it's in the movies too. Robin
right.
Williams did a movie. I don't even remember. It was a spinoff on La Cage aux Folles.
Oh yeah, the Birdcage. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, they show that over and over. Or you go, let me tell you something. You go to a basketball game, and all the music they play is somehow related to individuals that either are suspected or are known to be engaged in some sort of homosexual activity.
Right.
They play the song YMCA.
Sure.
Okay. That's a song really about pedophilia is what it's about.
Right.
But
oh,
everybody's
absolutely.
Going through the hand motions and singing along. Then they'll play a Michael Jackson song while he's on trial for pedophilia.
Yes.
And Gary Glitter, the song Rock and Roll Part 2. Now, Gary Glitter was arrested in Thailand last year and found guilty of raping a 12-year-old girl. This is the music that they're promoting in the professional sports arenas.
Yep.
And everybody's having a wonderful time. Okay, Queen. They'll play Queen.
Right.
We will rock you. Okay,
yes.
Now,
oh, yes. Yes.
Freddie Mercury died of AIDS, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely related to his lifestyle.
I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, who died of AIDS because of a homosexual lifestyle. Rudolf Nureyev died of AIDS. But you can see this is not a natural evolution of events. This is a, like you said, the parties that came to your producer friend in specifically instructed him how many times he has to insert these debased lyrics within the thing, and he got paid a lot of money. Well, you can bet that's going on throughout the entertainment industry. That's why when they have, I forget the name of it, but they have this European competition every year to see which country puts up the, gets the wins. You know, it's kind of an American Idol, but it's over in Europe. I forget what it's called, but it seems that it's the band who has the most, reputation for, you know, satanic hard rock lyrics seems to be the winner. I mean, that's not an accident. That's intentional promotion. Kiss is a group that are in the business of promoting Satanism. I've been told that the acronym KISS stands for Kings in Service to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's true or not, but judging from their conduct, from the time they first came out of the box, it seems reasonable to me. And I don't go to heavy metal concerts, etc., but I've heard from people who do, the promotion of Satanism is off the chart. It's just off the chart.
Yes, you know, I watched part of the Olympic opening ceremonies, I have a background in competitive long distance running.
Yes.
And it's a love. I mean, I'm talking about long distance running, not all the other stuff that goes with it on the side. And they turned this, that whole event into a big mind control spectacle. And, I was watching, the opening ceremonies, where they had, I don't know, they had some 15,000 participants in the whole opening event. They had several thousand drummers, and they were playing electronic drums. And your eyes get this visual pulse, and, you know, as they're playing the drums, they hit the drum in a certain place, and they were all very well trained to do this in sync. So it magnifies or it amplifies this effect.
Yep.
But they're playing low sounds. Everything was computerized. So the tones of the drums change from a low pitch to a high pitch, and they're all doing this in sync and synchronized with the light show, which is doubling the effect. And this is putting this satanic influence, even though you think you're watching a music performance, there's a lot of metaphysical science going on in the background affecting the subconscious. Now, I'm watching the athletes come out, and the American athletes come out, and there were specific athletes that I know didn't go to the University of Texas. They weren't Longhorns, but they were given the sign of Satan with their hands as they waved to the crowd.
Right.
At that point, I just turned off the television set.
Right.
I just decided at that point I didn't want to see any more of really the whole spectacle was very satanic.
Yes.
And I don't say that in a superstitious way.
No, you're saying it in a literal way, because it is a not so subtle promotion of satanic symbolism. And because you mentioned the drum, I do recall Leni Riefenstahl's covering of the of Berlin Olympics. And I remember well that she used as an emphasis of the, you know, the power of the Germans, the German Reich, that she had these boys who were playing these drums, a lot of them, in very close synchrony to each other. And it had this kind of tribal pulsation to it that seems to add to the mystique of this like rising fount of, you know, Germanic power.
Mm-hmm.
I remember so well that they used these young boys on these drums to achieve that sort of ambience that you're referring to that you saw at the Beijing opening ceremony.
Now, they all had on red outfits. I can't recall what color their outfits were for the opening ceremonies, but they began using the symbolism of the circle, okay, which is setting up a boundary, and it's basically they're showing you the matrix right there.
Yep.
And the motions were so unnatural. They had a circle within a circle within a circle, and they were on different tiers, and they were standing up and bending down or stooping down. And so when you looked at this from overhead, and they knew how to show the camera angles, they were told which camera angles were going to be shot when and how. And for how long. And you could see this undulation of, it looked like something coming out of the earth. They were young boys, and they had what looked like blood. They had a basic line coming from the hairline down to the bridge of the nose in blood red. Each one of them had this on their forehead. Now, you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose? One would think, oh, this is some kind of Chinese custom. Well, it may very well be, but I can tell you that it was very satanic. It was a satanic ritual of the grandest presentation you have ever seen, coordinated with lights and fireworks.
Yes.
The whole nine yards. The whole event was very, very dark.
Wow.
And I noticed that the closing ceremonies had a very unnatural echo that the opening ceremonies didn't have. Everything, and they would come up and stick a camera and a microphone in the face of the athletes who were saying, "I love you, Mom, I love you, Dad," you know, to their families back in the States.
Yes.
And everything was in this digital echo that just kept repeating. They sounded like they were in a tunnel underground.
I see.
You know, and it didn't stop. The whole presentation had that overtone to it. The announcers had a very dry mic, much like we sound right now. No reverberation. But they were talking, and it was, and now, we, see, was going like that through the whole broadcast.
I see.
Through the whole stadium, which they coined a term, the bird's nest.
Yes.
It looked like a prison.
Yes.
It was constructed of bars that crisscrossed in every direction.
Yes.
Framing in its entirety the shape of a bird's nest, yet it looked mystically like a prison.
Yep.
And you know, you see that symbolism if you're looking for it.
Yep.
It was something to see, just to read their intentions and study the methods. And I'm not honoring what they did. I don't see anything to honor in that. It was a diversion. We had a war start up in Georgia.
That's right.
You know, right on the opening day.
Yep.
And Lord knows now, we haven't heard anything about bird flu vaccinations, but be interesting when the people start coming back what we're going to hear.
Hmm. Yep.
It'll be interesting. Well, Ken, we're out of time.
We wasted another perfectly good hour and 50 minutes, I guess, this time.
No, we didn't waste it. I think, you know, we touched on a lot of things. Of course, this is for the listening audience. Give out your web address, and especially, you know, quickly inform us of any articles. You did mention a couple. What do you have new coming out that you feel people should take a look at?
Well, the website is educate-yourself.org, O-R-G, educate-yourself, a hyphen is a dash between two letters, educate-yourself.org. And some people make the mistake of going educate-yourself.com. That's not going to work. You won't get to me. If you don't put the hyphen in there, you won't get me. The only way it'll work is you got to put it precisely the way I'm mentioning it, educate-yourself.com. .org. And I post the latest information to what is called current news, and they could find the link for current news at the very top of any page of the website. It's the upper left-hand corner, top row, current news. And they scroll down to a section called latest articles. I have some articles that I want to feature, so I put them near the top of the page and some special areas of information, but just scroll down a bit, you'll get the latest articles, and there the most recent stuff that I'm posting is goes in that place. And what I've had time for, there's a lot I'd like to put up, but I just haven't had the time to put it up, but as time allows, I try to do more and more. But I'm very happy about it. I've been getting some spectacular photos from different parts of the world. Person in Spokane, Washington, just sent me something on Sunday. She took some fabulous photos of they had a fair amount of chemtrail activity, but she mentally called in the sylphs, as we alluded to, I guess, near the beginning of this show. And they came in, and they just gobbled those chemtrails and very dramatically, and the shapes and the etheric images that I some of them which I cropped from her photos can be seen on that page. I just got today, I haven't put it up yet, but a lady from Switzerland sent me unbelievable sylphs. I mean, these shapes are so unusual, so you could frame them and put them on your wall. Just incredible. So it seems that the cleaning up of chemtrails, the neutralizing of them by these beings, these creatures which we call sylphs, seems to be accelerating around the world. And now, for people who are A, aware of them, and B, simply are finding that they just mentally call the sylphs, come in and help neutralize and remove these chemtrails from my area, and it seems that they respond, and with they get their camera out, within a few minutes, sylph forms start to take place, and then the transmutation of the chemtrails is taking minutes. It used to take hours. It used to take all day when I first saw this phenomena four and a half years ago. Now it takes minutes. And in our local area, I have a lot of orgone generators. I have CBs here. Of course, I'm making them, so I have more than the average person does. But we aren't getting much chemtrail spraying. The last time we had a chemtrail bombardment was July 24. I mean, that's almost 1 month ago. I check every day. We've had blue skies every single day since July 24. And I'm guessing, but I'm assuming they're realizing that chemtrails now are so quickly neutralized by the sylphs in this area that they're not bothering spraying because I don't think they're getting their money's worth. I'm thinking they're spraying in areas that where there are no orgone generators. The people don't know that you can stop chemtrails by calling in sylphs. And because I do get email from people who tell me, you know, well, we're getting hit real bad here. What can I do? So there's obviously still plenty of areas around the world where chemtrails are sticking, but they're not sticking here, and they're not sticking in many places where people are aware of this incredible assistance we're getting from these sylphs. And then the sylphs themselves, if you take a photo with a digital camera, take it in your computer and put it in a photo program like Photoshop where you can enlarge it and change the contrast, you can see etheric images of what look like animals, what look like human beings, what look like unknown creatures, what look like ghost-like, what look like cartoonish characters. There's a wide, wide assortment of etheric images embedded within these forms we're calling sylphs. And this is just a whole brand new area of investigation. I mean, it really should be an area of science because it's taking place. Mm-hmm. Anyone who sees a sylph and takes the picture with the digital camera will capture these images. So, but hardly anyone even knows that it exists, but it's very interesting. Whoever wants to try playing around with these images in Photoshop, after a while you become more adept at knowing what filters to use. You become adept at knowing what filter to use, and you learn how to quickly adjust the contrast and the color and play with it. It took me a few weeks of just playing with it till I got to the point I can do it much faster now, and it's fascinating. It takes time. Often I don't have the time to afford, but I would like other people to try to do it, so I sort of explain on my pages exactly what I'm doing to try to get other people to play with it themselves.
Well, thanks for that explanation. Speaking of time, we are out of it.
Yes.
I want to give you a heads up. I sent you David D's newest creation of his interpretation of the Barack Obama certificate of birth.
Oh.
From Kenya.
I'm looking at it right now. Oh my God. That's good. Oh, that's funny.
Now, I sent this also to BBS Radio, and if Don Newsom is around, or Seth, you can let Don know to look for that. He may want to post that on the homepage.
Yeah, this is a scream.
And
this is really good.
We had asked David if he'll do something for the Obama piece, and I think this might be the first submission.
Okay. So, well, he's very good at this. He's really good at these.
He's excellent at it. I'm going to put this up on my website, directlightproductions.com, and
yes.
we have permission. As long as you give him attribution, we have permission.
Absolutely, yes.
I think your readership will get a kick out of this.
Yes.
You can attach it to any birth certificate story that's out there.
Right.
I think it's great. I mean, it's for the listening audience. It's got his name, Barack Hussein Obama. Now, they left out another name that I disclose in my article. Mm-hmm. They show his birth date, August 4th, 1961. That is very much in dispute. His place of birth on this certificate says Kenya, Africa. His religious affiliation, Muslim. It's got the name of his father and his birthplace. And there's a campaign button there, which says, forget the law, Obama 08. So, and his he's sitting there, he's got on, I don't know what you call that hat, I can't remember the name.
Yeah, Muslims wear that prayer hat, like, when they...
Yeah, it's sort of like a pillbox-shaped hat.
Pillbox, right.
Yeah, and he's got African beads with bones hanging from them. He's holding on to a toy zebra, and he's sitting on what appears to be something sort of like a manger with with straw.
Yeah.
And his diaper has a yellow spot in the front, and it says change above it. So it is hilarious. And speaking of wet starts, by the way, you mentioned one wet start that John McCain had back, what was it, 1967, I think, somewhere around that time. I think it was around 1967, that wet start incident on the Forrestal.
Okay.
And it's interesting that that ship was named after the former Secretary of Defense who, the word has it, committed suicide by jumping out a 15-story window.
Yeah, right.
It was interesting.
James Forrestal.
Yeah. But he had another wet start, and that was in December of 2007 when he had actually peed his pants in Iraq.
Right.
If you remember, we talked about that, I think,
yes.
in another show. So he's had two wet starts. And
yeah.
And now Barack Obama has one. So this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Ken, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to the next time. It was a lot of fun. I also want to let the listeners know that you are going to be one of the contributing journalists to the new site, which I have mentioned last week, that we are adding inside the BBS website. It's going to have its own domain name. It's called infiltrators.com.
Right.
Infiltrators.com.
Yep.
And that's going to be a lot of fun having you working on that project with us.
Yep.
If it's anything like tonight's show, we'll have a blast with this.
Yeah, we're having fun, yep.
So I want to thank you, and we'll say goodnight to our listening audience right now. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guest, Ken Adachi, has a website, educate-yourself.org. Pay it a visit. There's lots of great information there, lots of great articles, lots of research. It is one of the most popular in the world. And you might even see a few links to my website there, directlightproductions.com.
Right.
In the meantime, special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and for Seth Hendrick making the sound possible. And Ken, again, good night, and I wish all the audience a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Sure.